Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C., Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, I'm in Cincinnati. It's hot and humid. Padres getting ready for three against the Reds. Today is game 81. Where do you want to start?
Halfway.
That's right.
Well, we could start with, let's go back to halfway in a second. I realized, and I tweeted this when I said that this was coming up. I was thinking, you know, the Padres have been so good at home lately. I think winning, what is it, like 25 of their last 32 or something along those lines, 9-1 homestand. And I thought, I don't think they've been that good on, and I think they've played more home games, I think, than maybe almost any other team, which obviously will get caught up on this trip. But I was thinking they haven't been very good on the road, so I looked it up. They've been awful. They've lost 9 of their last 10 on the road going into this trip now. So you have 3 in Cincinnati against a Reds team that is 39-38, and then 3 more in Philadelphia against a team that's 36-40. So a couple teams kind of treading water. They played each other yesterday in a makeup game. The Reds won big. They have lots of momentum coming into this game tonight, and the Padres have lots of momentum. So, I mean, boy, there's just momentum. It's as thick as the humidity there.
They're crashing each other, Jay.
That's right. That's right. So, obviously, the Padres need to play better on the road, and I haven't crunched numbers, but I'm guessing the numbers for pitching and hitting is probably much worse on the road than it is at home. Did I get that right?
Well, here's the funny part is it was the early part of May, and you know, it was one of those things where the manager gets questions every day, right? Some players get questions, but the manager is the guy who's out there every day. And it was about, why are the Padres so much better on the road? They were slugging, you know, they were hitting homers. They were slugging right. Twice as good. I don't think Jace Tingler does this because he's, you know, he doesn't really put that much thought into these answers anyway. But sometimes after he gets these questions and it seems like they, you know, he's starting to get tired of them, I picture him grumbling, you know, as he box off these questions. Because his answer to that was, look, it's this is an anomaly. This is cyclical. It's going to turn it around. And I picture him grumbling, and Benny wishes it didn't turn around this much.
Right.
Because, wow, yeah, they hit better at home. Phil Nevin probably can hardly believe it that Petco Park is such a hitter's park. But look, I still think it's cyclical. You, as great as the crowds were, and as much as the Padres loved being home for 11 days, they hit better.
Mm-hmm.
They hit better when they were these last 11 days. They started off. They had the one trip. Sort of all started in San Francisco that last day, and then gosh, they hit pretty good on the road there for about 10 games. Look, they haven't faced very good pitchers lately.
Well, and one thing about what they did at home was they hit the ball out of the ballpark at Petco, and now they're playing in maybe the two best home run parks outside of Coors Field.
This place is unreal.
I'm having a hard time trying to think of any other ones off the top of my head, but certainly Cincinnati, and I think Philadelphia, which the park that opened the same year as Petco. And I always remember it's sort of the opposite in the sense of how it's played, although Petco is much more neutral now than it used to be. But if you're gonna put the, you know, put your bats out there and hit better and hit the ball out of the park, it seems like these are two places where you can really do that. The Reds pitching is not great, although I know Thursday starter Luis Castillo has been good in the past, was awful at the beginning of this year, and it was kind of like, wow, whatever happened to that guy? And now recently he's been much better.
The Padres just beat him. That's all. They gave up 2 earned runs. They right, hit the home runs. Right. That was it. This guy is 3-10. Like he gets the decision every time he goes out there.
I know.
Because lately he's been going, you know, 5 2/3, 6-7. I think he's coming off a good start. Tony Santillan, who is starting tonight, the Padres roughed him up, but he just threw he allowed a run in 6 innings against the Braves. Mm-hmm.
Vladimir Gutierrez, yeah.
They kind of ran him out, but he, you know, I think that guy's a pretty good pitcher. Plus that spider tattoo right there, that's very unnerving. Honestly, I saw him pitch the other day against the Braves. Like, wow,
So it's distracting.
You got Blake Snell going tonight. I think the first thing that anyone would think of is, okay, Blake Snell on the road. We're all preoccupied with how well he's pitching at home and how poorly he's pitching on the road. Well,
right.
He's got to come and pitch in this place. I mean, it truly is. Like, you don't call Coors Field a bandbox. It's gigantic.
Yeah.
It's just mile high. This is the bandbox of the National League. So we'll see, won't we? Blake Snell's never pitched here. He's a fascinating human being. And the saga of Blake Snell continues tonight.
And then Musgrove is tomorrow. And
I'd put your money on Ryan Weathers for Thursday.
I was going to say, I believe they have the option of coming back
with Paddock.
On Thursday with Paddock, and then Darvish could pitch Friday on regular rest, and you wouldn't need Weathers until Saturday. But they might also just decide, you know what, it's why not keep Paddock and Darvish, give them the extra day, I think Weathers could pitch anytime. He's on the rest where he could pitch.
He's supposed to pitch tonight for El Paso.
Right.
So,
right.
It makes sense that they'd bring him up Thursday, but you're right. It actually could be anytime, but. Why have Chris Paddock go on 4 days when you don't have to have him go on
exactly.
4 days? I think he has to go on 4 days the next time and then right before the break. So I just think that it makes a lot of sense. And it certainly seems, now this is completely, at this point, educated speculation. The way people are talking, Ryan Weathers is coming up, but I don't have that for sure. But it sure seems like that. And some other pitching moves. And this starts the things, I can't remember if we've actually said this in front of anybody but ourselves, Jay, but talking about the pitchers that are coming back. And almost like if you look forward to after the All-Star break, they expect Matt Strom back. It's like making a trade without giving something up. But I would think tonight, Pierce Jellison and Drew Pomeranz could be back. And so that's big for the bullpen.
Yeah, no, I mean, if those guys could, and especially Pomeranz, if he could stay healthy and be the pitcher that he was last year for the most part, and obviously the year before as a reliever, which, got the Padres to give him the big contract before last year, that's a huge benefit. Would be a great story for Weathers. I know his dad pitched in a lot of places, but I kind of associate him with the Reds and Cincinnati, not all that far from where Ryan grew up. And I'm sure it would be a big deal for him and the family if he were able to pitch on Thursday in Cincinnati. So that'd be something to look forward to as well. And it'd be good to see him back. I mean, Ryan Weathers is not a AAA pitcher. I mean, he's a major league pitcher. We've seen that. He's proven that. So anyway, like you said, tonight is game 81. The Padres are 47-33 right now. So they're on pace for somewhere between 94 and 96 wins.
So Jake, you're a big gambler.
What happens?
You're a big gambler. So I know you probably took the over, right? So if 47.5, I believe, was the consensus over under for the, 94.5 was the consensus over under for the season for the Padres. So for all the angst, for all the jubilation at times, here we are. They're just about what you expected.
Yeah, I mean, and considering the teams that they've played, and we've talked about the schedule coming up, that it softens at least on paper over the next couple months before playing the Dodgers and Giants like every other series in September. But yeah, I mean, look, the Padres haven't played themselves out of anything at this point. They're five games in the loss column. Behind the Giants, right now, but they're in the wild card. They're in the wild card position quite comfortably, actually, right now. So, they didn't lose anything in the first half. I mean, yeah, you could look back and say, oh, there are a couple games that they probably should have won that they didn't. But you could look back and say there are a couple games the other way around too. They probably should have lost, and one of them might have been against the Reds where they blew the, Melanson blew the game, and then Hosmer and Caratini hit home runs.
You mean Eric Hosmer saved the season? Yeah, absolutely.
He's been great.
This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Are you waiting for a great reason to buy a new car? How about because, baseball? So what is a great opening day special? How about 0% APR for 48 months on new 2021 Ram 1500s, Dodge Chargers, Jeep Compass, and Jeep Grand Cherokees? That's a great reason and a great deal. But do you also need a great place? That's easy. Come to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Ram Spotlight Sales Event.
I think big picture, they're about where they figured to be. If, like you said, if the over-under was 94-95 and they're on pace for 94-95, that's pretty much where things are. We could talk about, you know, the pitching's probably been a little better than expected. The hitting's been a little worse. You know, Tatis missed, what's it been, 18 to 20 games. Chato missed a week. You know, Myers and Hosmer were out for a while. I mean, I think, you know, if you want to start with disappointments, those would be the two guys that you would, that you'd start with, especially based on the idea that they're both making $20 million. You know, Hosmer's had some, no question, he's had some big moments, some big hits, especially early, big one against the Reds, but you'd like to see more production out of your first baseman than that. Myers has gone back to a little bit of the sort of pre-pandemic Will Myers for the most part. And, you know, both of them haven't, they haven't been awful all the time, but especially if you want to say, well, for $20 million each, you'd expect a little more production out of both those guys.
Absolutely. First, Jay, on the schedule, the Dodgers and Giants play tonight, starting a series. And I mean, there is the potential here for the Padres to make up some ground. That's one thing that was a little disappointing, right? When the Dodgers were going through their 5-15 stretch, the Padres were kind of middling at that point too. They could have, you know, gained a lead. The Padres, the Dodgers and Giants, there's a potential that one of these guys takes a little hit here over the next few weeks, and that the Padres could actually, you know, at least jump into second, maybe gain some ground. I mean, I'm still waiting for the Giants to come back to earth. I'm not saying they're a bad team. One of these three, these are probably the three playoff teams. Like, two of these guys are the wild card. But I don't think the Giants are like 30 games over 500 good. So, anyway.
And it was interesting. I saw some of they played the Dodgers last night. It's just a two-game series last night and tonight. And last night, the Dodgers came out and hit home runs on the first two batters of the game. Will Smith hit another home run later. And that was basically their entire offense. They had one at bat the entire game with a runner in scoring position. The Giants had 13 at bats with runners in scoring position and didn't get a single hit. They were 0 for 13 and they ended up losing 3-2. So that's one of those things. Are you rooting for the Dodgers or the Giants when they, if you're a Padre fan, when they play each other? At this point, I told someone yesterday, if you're a Padre fan, I still think you're rooting for the Giants in these games, because I think in the long term, the Dodgers are still the better team. And you would rather see the Giants get wins, because you figure they're going to come back to the pack a little bit more. That's how I would look at it at this point. But
that really threw me off yesterday, Jay. Monday off day. If I'm not mistaken, first Monday off day for the Padres. They haven't had a lot of off days. Their off days, remember? Thursdays is when they've been off. And they played the 17 in a row, the 13 in a row. Tell me.
They had one Monday off day. The last Monday of April, coming off the Sunday night game against the Dodgers.
Got it.
And then they went to Phoenix. But yeah, you're right. They have played every Monday during the season except for
and that's how my that day and my world yesterday. In the season is if there's not a game, like, the day didn't happen, basically.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't care. Today's Monday to me. So Saturday could be Monday to me.
Right.
So yes, Myers, Hosmer. Jay, are we going to talk about this for the rest of his career? Of course, he'll be making $13 million pretty soon. But
yeah,
is Eric Hosmer what Eric Hosmer is, which I guess means that you and Bryce Miller were right, but I don't care. Is Eric Hosmer a guy who's going to come through with some clutch hits for you, a guy who's going to be a good clubhouse guy, who's going to, you know, just be on your team and hit 250 with a 25 on base percentage, which is not what he's doing. Look, at the end of May, Eric Hosmer was having a good season.
Absolutely.
He's been streaky his whole career. So has Will Myers. That's part of the problem with these guys. Their numbers maybe don't justify their contracts, but what happens is for large points of the season, it's like, oh no, Will Myers and Eric Hosmer are coming up. That's the problem to me.
Right.
Like there's times they're coming up and you're like, all right, cool. I mean, it was a month ago we were saying Eric Hosmer, you like, hey, make their two outs and put someone on second because Eric Hosmer is going to get a hit. Okay.
Right. Right.
And you know, for a portion of the season, Will Myers was 2020 Will Myers.
The problem is they're
back to back in the order now. And that has been a sinkhole.
Yeah. And the one thing about Hosmer that, you know, when they brought him in, it definitely added credibility to the organization. You know, does the whole Manny thing happen without that? I don't have any idea. They did offer Manny a lot of money. I don't think Manny came here just because Eric Hosmer, you know, brought credibility. The $300 million might have had something to do with that. But, you know, again, it's all part of the process.
Yes.
Is he worth that salary every single season for his production? No, he's not. But can he be a benefit to the team at times during the team? I believe he can. You know, last year, kind of an odd season because you term it as the 2020 season and both those guys had good numbers, but it was 2 months. And like you said, for the first 2 months of this season, Hosmer was off to a good start. By the end, you know, if last season had been 6 months, he might have gone back to sort of being what Hosmer is. But in terms of positives, you know, Tommy Pham looked like he was going to be in that category as well, a guy that wasn't going to live up to expectations. But he's been tremendous over the last several weeks, couple months. I'm not sure what the exact
May 21st
tipping point. Okay, May 21st. So, you know, 6 weeks or so, he's been outstanding. And been one of the better players, not just on the Padres, but in the league in terms of his production. He, you know, jump started things again the other day with a home run. Trent Grisham struggled, was having a very good season until he got hurt, struggled a little bit coming back, but certainly has shown signs of coming out of it, especially on Sunday, you know, with three doubles. So the two thirds of the outfield there, I think you're set there. I mean, Machado, Tatis, Cronenworth, hard to complain too much about that. I mean, we talked a little bit about Manny needed to produce more, and he started to do that, you know, on this last homestand, and his defense has been incredible, you know, for the whole season. And catcher's been a problem, as long as we're just talking position players. Catcher's been a problem, not because Victor Caratini hasn't really been Victor Caratini, because that's kind of what he's been. And he had some big hits early, had some big hits in the last homestand, but you didn't expect Victor Caratini to be playing this much. Right. And the issue there is Austin Nola, you know, has been hurt almost the entire season. So that's another guy, if you can get him back and he can be healthy, it's a little bit like Matt Strom, where you're bringing in a guy for the second half of the season without having to give something up in return.
It's huge, and it's hard to fault the Padres in terms of you had Austin Nola and Victor Caratini. That's a pretty good, at least, you know, what you think if Victor Caratini is going to be this guy. And I think he was even better than they expected in terms of defensively and working with the pitchers. And then you're stuck with, and look, Webster Rivas has not been, that's a pretty good, never intended to bring a guy up, you know, but you know, this is a team with championship aspirations. And so that has been a hole as well. That's the thing that really stands out to me. And anybody who watched or played for, and there aren't many that were here, but anybody that watched the Padres for the last few years, before last year, the whole lineup just had holes. It was like the team had to play really well to win. And then you knew that the next night they had to play really well to win. And it was like, you know, I mean, the countless times after a game, I'd be like, yeah, it was a really good game. They cannot do that again 7 times in a row. And so now it really stands out when they have holes in their lineup like that. Like I talked about where right now the 5-6 hole, after you get through those top four, I mean, how many times in this homestand did the top four guys get on base And then
right.
boom, 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 out. So that's not what this lineup was designed to be. That's not what you would expect it to be when they're going well. That's not generally how it's going to be. And so to have Webster Rivas in there is a hole that you don't want. When Ha-Sung Kim has to play, that's a hole that you don't want. They've only had Austin Nola, Trent Grisham in the same lineup twice this year.
Wow. Yeah.
So actually, I take that back. There were a couple other times, but Fernando Tatis was out. So twice this year, they've had their expected eight. You take even Nola out, and they've only had their expected seven guys three more times. That's like incredible to me that basically a half dozen times this year would be a lineup that you expected to see.
Right. Right. What we can expect to happen, the trade deadline is a month away. You wrote a little bit about this in the midseason report that ran online. It's online now and was in the paper today. Bryce Miller wrote this also, that especially with Dinelson Lamet and his situation, it feels like the Padres need to get a starting pitcher. Maybe they need a reliever, although if you're going to get Pierce Johnson and Drew Pomerantz and Matt Strom all back, you know, maybe you're okay there. I'm not sure how you feel about that. Some of these, I mean, Mason Thompson has looked good. I mean, I think there was a reason they brought him up to see what they had, and he's looked good. So what about going forward? Do we expect a starter? Do we expect a reliever? Do we expect a position player? I mean, do they need to bring in another outfielder, or do they count on Yerkson Profar sort of getting out of whatever he's been in most of the year? Where do you think things stand in terms of over what we can look for over the next month from the front office?
For a couple of weeks, it was more position player that you were hearing, and not hearing anything like concrete. Maybe some names out there, but not anything like concrete, but like a bat is what they were looking for. And I guess my question then and my question now would be, well, then you're sending a bat away because, mm-hmm. I mean, you are paying Jurickson Profar a fair amount of money for him to be a super sub. Right. And you have three other starters out there. So, and what are you giving up so that you're not having another situation where you just brought in a bat and it didn't really help you and all that? So that was my question then. It's my question now. To get a starting pitcher, which has always been, I guess, it was the first thing that I heard, and it certainly seems like a move that a contending team in the Padres situation make. As a matter of fact, like, it would almost be disappointing if they don't add a innings-eating starter, a guy who goes 5-6, you know, innings and keeps you in it, gives you a chance to win games. Because when you do score, you know, this team wins. So because their pitching has been good. So give them a chance to win, and that's what you want. You're not going out to get Max Scherzer, okay? You're not going to package Ryan Weathers and, Mackenzie Gore and, Jake Cronenworth and get Max Scherzer. That's ridiculous.
Right.
You did all this work in the offseason. But the fact is, you did all this work in the offseason. If you're this close and you need a starter, you go out and get a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is probably going to happen.
So that's still your priority as well would be a starter. So I think that is interesting. And then the bench, there's not a lot on the bench. I mean, I don't, but Kim's not going anywhere. Profar's probably not going anywhere. Mateo hasn't shown much at all. I don't know if Brian O'Grady is a better option for that spot or if they think they can even upgrade off of that going forward. But
the bench is not good.
Right.
If Profar was what he's supposed to be, you'd be like, okay, right now the bench is a liability, but I don't know what you do about it with Kim and Profar. I'm sure AJ Preller knows what to do about it, but I don't.
No, that's true. And look, as they paid Kim a lot of money, and I still think he's valuable for his defense. And I think, you know, he looks like he has the ability. I mean, I'm not sure he's ever going to be a guy that's going to have an 850 OPS or anything like that. But, you know, at times he's shown flashes of being able to hit, obviously a huge home run against the Reds. But I think he's valuable. You know, Profar, it's hurt that Profar hasn't been good. And also it's hurt that, you know, that Caratini was supposed to be the bench, you know, as well. And a backup catcher can't help you all that much in the sense of pinch hitting, but can certainly help on the on days off and things like that.
Well, because then Austin Nola is coming off the bench on certain days. So you're absolutely right. And you're, you know, great point about Kim. I point out that these guys are liabilities. It's because they're both not performing offensively. Ha-Sung Kim is a defensive replacement who can get on base. He can draw you a walk. He can get a single. You know, obviously he can get a couple home runs too, but that's not what you're really looking for him for. But Jurickson Profar is really the issue. He's one of my favorite players to watch. He's one of his teammates' favorite players. He had a heck of a year. He's incredibly valuable, giving you decent play at five positions, or at least four of them. I'm not sure that center field is the best, but you know, that's an incredibly valuable player. But I forget what he's hitting, but it's like, you know, 0-13 over the last month. So
yeah, no, it hasn't been good. But he has shown in the past, obviously, the ability to hit. So I'm not sure that it's someone that you just write off as, you know, as a guy that's not going to that's not going to produce. So I wouldn't go there. So but as we said, I mean, it's something, you know, today's June 29th. So we've got another almost 5 weeks until the trade deadline. So I'm sure we'll end up talking about this as we go forward. So until then, I will I'll let you go out into the humidity and the heat of beautiful Cincinnati, and then we will talk again on Friday about the weekend series against the Phillies.
Look forward to it. Thanks, everybody.